Welcome to Launch, where we explore the world of invention and entrepreneurship. I'm Jim DeBetta, here with my co-host, Ron Reardon, and our producer, Lee Cantor.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Jim. How you doing?
Good. Having some construction done in my house, and I don't have to tell you, with four kids running around.
Oh, that sounds like a good time.
Well, they love it. They want to be in the construction zone. Oh, they want to grab all the tools and go behind the plastic walls that are up, but for us, it's kind of an adjustment. You know?
So you got the Bob the Builder setup going?
Oh, man, they've got all their stuff out, man. The kids, my 3-year-old's got, like, his little plastic hammer, and he's like, Daddy, I want to go get your hammer. I'm like, let's leave that to the construction people.
You know, if they watch Sesame Street, they're probably familiar with Manny.
Yeah, that's right. Handy Manny.
So. You let him play with the nail gun?
Yeah, that's some deadly stuff.
Good
there.
Times.
Yeah, good times indeed. Hey Ron, we've got two great innovative guests today. More attorneys, man. They just these lawyers are everywhere.
They're very creative people. I didn't realize
we can't hide from them. And the great thing is that most attorneys and doctors and surgeons and people I work with do not create products from their world. They come up with everything else, which I think is even better because people forget that they are real people too. So, or are they?
That's what they'd like.
No one's chiming in there. So.
Yeah, it's like many years ago, I did a lot of kayaking, and I was in Toastmasters, and some of the people that I kayaked with worked for the IRS, and I found out that, you know, the IRS people are real people, too,
yeah.
With the same complaints, you know.
Except we have an inherent fear of those people. You don't want to say the wrong thing around tax people. But we've got Brendan Parnell and Greg Goldman. Guys, good morning and welcome.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
We are certainly excited about your product. You know, being product people. Ron, they've got this Shutter Buddy, and what do you think, Ron?
Well, it looks good to me. You know, I've got 3 grandchildren, and I think they would all really be attracted to it. I'm fascinated by what you have here on your bio, because we always say that necessity is the mother of invention, but it looks like in your case it's the mother-in-law. Tell us about that.
Well, first, the product is a device that attaches to your camera, and it gets an infant or baby to look directly into the lens, so you get a great photo
right
every time. And our daughter, it was Christmas 2 years ago. She was 5 weeks old. And my mother-in-law had been on me to get a picture of our daughter under the Christmas tree as a gift, because my wife is a Christmas baby too, and she had a picture of her under the tree.
Tradition.
And so we had to continue the tradition. So I had heard that from her many, many times, reminders about getting this photograph of Audrey. And so it came time. It was a day or two before Christmas. It came time to get a picture of her under the tree. We set her up under the tree, got the camera out, and she would not look at the camera. She was looking at the lights and looking left and right. We were trying to run out the door. It was a very stressful and frustrating moment in our household.
You bet.
And maybe because of the stress that was going on, I thought about some of the toys that our daughter was interested in, and they featured a black and white pattern. And I knew as a parent that that infants are attracted to black and white stimulation visually. And so, without a word, I ran into the kitchen and left my daughter and my wife standing there. And my wife was wondering, "Where'd you go?"
He's out of here.
That's good move. run away.
That's what she thought. And I came back with a prototype of this on a piece of cardboard, and I had taken a magic marker and drawn a black and white pattern and taped it onto the camera so that the lens protruded through a cone, and it worked like a charm.
So you just whipped this out. What are you, like MacGyver? I mean, how'd you just like run away
and
grab
seconds,
some cardboard and X-Acto knife and some magic markers?
And tape, duct tape.
I am a fan of MacGyver and the A-Team, but it popped into my head, and so I ran in the kitchen and took a few minutes to create that and came back, and it worked like a charm, and I knew I was onto something.
A product is born. As they say, well, that's some of the best ideas come out of these, you know, these stressful moments. There's no question about it.
So where did you read about the black and white pattern?
Well, I had known about the black and white pattern just as a new parent, and you see black and white and red on developmental toys, and after that, I did some research, and studies have been going on for about 20 years. And as far as the research that I've done in looking at those articles that have been written, it's pretty well commonly accepted among practitioners and researchers that infants' vision, from as they develop, they have a difficult time focusing because their muscles are in development stage. But a high contrast pattern, black and white, they can focus right in on. And so it gets them, you know, they focus their attention right there, and it holds their attention.
Yeah, but at that moment of developing this, okay, under pressure and all like that, you were pretty much going on gut that you had seen black and white stuff for kids and just connected the dots of, I'm going to try this?
It was like a light bulb. It went off, and I thought, well, let's give it a try.
And then the research came later confirming, you know.
That's right.
It must be right because these other guys are using this kind of pattern for developmental toys.
That's right. And the research wasn't necessarily related to what's used on toys, but just done through research centers, right. You know, and more in the medical scientific field.
All right, Greg, so how'd you get sucked into this deal here?
Well, that's a good question. Brendan has been a friend of mine. We were actually out at lunch one day with another friend of ours, just a casual, you know, business lunch. And we had we started having a conversation. Brendan was saying, you know, I've got this concept. We all knew he had been working on this. And he was like, you know, I actually have a product that, you know, we're getting ready to go do this trade show and we're going to launch it. But I need help. I'm not going to quit, you know, doing my day job of being a lawyer. And I just happen to be in a position in my career that I could step back away from my corporate job and give this a shot. And I probably if it was any other product, you know, you'd think twice about it. But you look at the product, it works. It was a good idea. You know, we think there's a good market for it. So I was willing to step away and take that risk and get involved. So
one of those, like you see in the movies where, like, yeah, I could see you, Brendan, saying, yeah, I've got this great idea, and everyone's out at this nice business lunch, and I'm going to, you know, stop doing what I'm doing for a while. Who's with me? And, like, you hear, like, you know, crickets or something. Right. Like, you know, all that silence. But
What about the other guy that was at lunch? Is he involved?
He is not involved. We're still friends with him. And actually, I posed the question to him initially. I said, Cam, you want to quit your job and help me out with this? And Greg chimed in and said, well,
you were first. Greg was first one in, right?
That's right.
But our friend every time, you know, whenever we show a little bit of success with the business, he chimes in that he wants a
piece
some
of
types
it, right?
of finder's fee for me because he's the one that invited me to lunch.
You owe him a lunch and you'll call it even. So I want to try to, I know obviously radio people can't see this right now, but I mean it. I'm trying to think of a way to describe what this actually looks like on a camera. It's kind of like a little mini tent,
Trying to explain professional photographers have those kind of
those
things.
Those black
right,
kind
it's
of
like a cone.
Yeah. A hood, maybe?
A hood. That, because, Lee, you took out your small point shoot camera, you know, which these
right.
little digital cameras, which.
And it fit right on it without, in
I mean,
2 seconds.
Yeah, and it just kind of.
Yeah, it has a little,
you guys might be able to better explain this.
It's got a little strap with Velcro to connect the camera to the device.
And then any size camera, right?
It'll fit any point-and-shoot camera as well as most cell phones.
Yeah, see, that's a biggie.
That's huge.
Because, like, my wife, I could see her having, you know, like old mom, she has this monster bag with 800 things, and I could see, because when this folds up, it's no more than what?
It's smaller than your
3
cell phone,
inches
right?
by, you know,
yeah,
inch and change. Easily can stick that in there, and I can see her, and she does take a lot of pictures with a cell phone because they're impromptu. It's like, oh, look how cute, and then she, you know, she doesn't have her camera.
Yeah, but she takes it, and then it's on Facebook in 2 seconds, right?
So she could, you know, take out this, you know, the actual Shutter Buddy, and in moments get this thing on there, and then, you know, write on her phone and get, you know, daughter's attention,
right?
You know, right away. And that's true. It is hard to. I've been through that many a times. Like, we go, like, for holiday photos or something, and they're, like, the people taking pictures, they're, like, dancing around, and they're
right.
waving
they got
things
the props.
And the only thing that ever seemed to work was just, like, pure light, like if they shined a light, like a flash type of thing. But, again, that's not always handy to have a light.
And then that makes them blink, so you got to watch that.
Yeah.
It can make them blink. But you mentioned a holiday photo or family photo. we found that the product is very helpful in that scenario. We've all been there with parents where you've got the whole family, you've got 10 people, one person's holding the baby,
yeah.
Everybody's looking at the camera, and the baby's looking at the ground.
Yeah.
Well, what you do in that situation with the Shutter Buddy is you put it on your camera, and you take you walk to where the baby is looking, and you put it in front of their field of vision, and then you step back and you drag it up to where you want to actually hold the camera.
Oh, okay.
And they'll follow your vision up, and then they're looking just like all the adults are looking, directly ahead right at the photo, and you get a great family photo.
Or you'll have it just the baby staring at the, and then everyone else is looking around.
Right.
You know, like that kind of deer in the headlights.
You need one for adults,
too. For adults, that's right.
A bigger one. A huge
and maybe not the little checkerboard, you mean a different image.
I really like the way that it folds up so that it goes into a purse or a coat pocket or
yeah,
whatever.
I mean, this is, I mean, you could actually, you could put this in your pocket.
Easily. Right.
I spent a lot of time on the design of the product coming up with how it would fold, because the original prototypes did not fold. They were rigid. And I knew the product, the value of the product really wasn't there unless you're able to fold it up and make it portable and make it easy to use. Otherwise, it's too big and bulky and people aren't going to carry it with
they
them.
They won't. And that then they get, it gets, you know, tossed in a closet
and forgotten. Can you talk a little bit about, since you were, this isn't your regular business, can you talk about the experience of getting involved in this inventor world and, you know, now bringing something to market and things like that, and how, maybe, you know, if you had preconceptions and how it's been for you?
Well, I really didn't know what I was doing or how to go about it. That was really the biggest hurdle, is these big question marks. You know, I knew I had an idea and a product that I wanted to pursue, and how do you do that? Because I have no experience in that world. And so I actually did all of the prototyping on it myself at the sewing machine. I spent about 2 months.
So you, all right, so you have this idea, and then what was the very first thing you did? Did you hand draw it out? Did you go to like a, you know, a Michael's or Joann's and buy some fabric? What was the first thing you did?
Well, the first prototype was just a piece of paper and a magic marker.
Okay.
And so from there, it went to cardboard, and the cardboard was rigid, and I knew it wasn't right. And so then I went to a Hancock's or a Michael's, and I got some materials, and I just kept playing with, you know, with the design and sewing it and the, you know, the ratios of how large it needed to be and all of that, so that it would fit most cameras. And that process took about 2 or 3 months until I had a prototype that I was fairly comfortable with as being, you know, close to a final prototype. And at that point, I talked to a patent attorney and filed a patent on it, or patent application. And then the bigger hurdle was, okay, I've got this prototype and I've got this product and I think it's a great thing. How do I get it made?
Right.
And I didn't really have any connections immediately that I thought about how to do that. It turns out that I do, and I've got a family member who has some experience in working with manufacturers in China, and so I hooked up with him, and he was really integral in bringing this thing to life.
Now, how long? Okay, so he gets a factory or finds a factory for you. How long did it take, and what was the process like for you with the back and forth, the communication with the factory, getting prototypes, working models from them?
Well, it took us the course of a few months. I think we probably could have done it in a shorter time frame, but again, he had another job, I had another job. It wasn't as though this was an afterthought, but it certainly wasn't, you know, right on the very front burner every day,
right?
But it still took us maybe 3 or 4 months from the factory sending some you know, initial samples, then tweaking the samples until we got it just right, and we got all of our creative done too, so that we could design and make the packaging and make the product a final product that's ready to go to market.
Yeah, I was looking at this, you know, from a factory standpoint. I was wondering how much of this is mechanized and how much of it is, you know, hand done. Because it looks like you got basically two triangles here with the top cut out. Okay,
Right.
And then, you know, there's fabric around that, and then there's, you know, the edging that's also fabric, and then there's a Velcro strap, and then, of course, there's the, you know, the logo, you know, on there. So it looks like it'd be pretty straightforward to make it.
It is pretty straightforward, and I have not been over to the factory. My contact has been working with them, but my understanding is that they are hand sewn at this point, and as we increase our volumes in terms of our orders.
Yeah, when you get 100,000 piece orders, unless they have 1,000 people hand sewing, it'll be mechanized. At what point did you think about names? I mean, okay, you have this product. And
yeah, what'd you call it when you first came up with it?
When we first came up with it, I called it Baby Bright Eyes. And I still like the name. And that was what, you know, that was what I came up with. And then as we knew we wanted to launch this product at the ABC trade show in September 2009 of this year. And so that was really our deadline. And a few months out from that, we engaged a creative firm to help us with the name, whether Baby Bright Eyes was correct or whether it needed to be something else, and the tagline and the creative elements of the packaging and of our website. And so we went through a process where, you know, they came up with dozens of potential names, and we weeded them out and settled on Shutter Buddy. And we think that it's an accurate name. I mean, the shutter refers to the camera, and Buddy, it's your assistant. I mean, it's really helping you get the great photo of your baby, and that's what it's all about. You know, we liked the name, and on the packaging, presently there's an animated dog that's Buddy.
Right.
And, you know, because it's cute and babyish. And
what were some of the names that didn't make the cut?
There were some.
Look at me. Damn it. Get the
hey, sit still.
There were some that were like the Looky Loo, the Looksy, and some of those. There was.
Well, personally, I like the Baby Bright Eyes.
I like the word baby in the name.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, we
might have to go into rebrief.
Yeah, but you hire a consultant, they're not going to go, yeah, go with yours. Yeah.
That's
yours is the best.
Well, we've been happy with them and the work that they've done. They're here locally.
Right, okay. Right.
Well, you know, one of my favorite stories, you know, Napoleon Hill's famous book, Think and Grow Rich, the title he wanted was Use Your Noodle to Get the Boodle. But his publisher said, no, we're going to go with Think and Go Rich.
Right.
The names always sound great after the person's been very successful.
Right.
Oh, what a smart name.
Yeah,
you know? Nobody says something's great after it doesn't succeed. But, no, I mean, it looks good. I mean, when I see it, I mean, I get it. I understand what it is. You look on the back of the package. You know, you've got it, which I always love, like step one, step two, step three. I've told so many people over the years, especially with any product that you would think is easy, but people just may not get, to give them the steps. Because your package is a clamshell plastic. They can't try this. So they've got to be able to flip it over and go, oh, all right, you know, fasten the strap over the camera just to make sure the flash is clear and shoot away. And that's it. And there's a picture of it set up and unfolded and then folded up in the steps. And that's enough for me to say, you know, okay, got it. I see what it does. And you have the copy. So, I mean, it definitely gets the point across, you know, quickly. And that's key with people.
Well, one of the benefits as well as challenges that we have with the Shutter Buddy is the benefit being that there's nothing like it on the market. It's really the first product of its kind. It's unique. It's novel. So that's a great benefit to us because there's not...
And it's a big market. There's lots of babies out there.
Lots of cameras.
That's right. It's a huge market.
Now, Greg, when did you get involved? At what point did you jump in here? And
very late in the game, actually. Okay. About 3 months ago, right before the ABC show. As a matter of fact, I left my corporate finance position on Friday and was flying out to Vegas on Saturday.
Left as in Permanently left.
Whoa, okay.
Man. But he meant like I just left that day.
Right. It was for a weekend in Vegas.
Okay, that's a leap. Yeah. That's
leap of faith. Yeah.
So a lot of, you know, the packaging had already been developed, and I was involved for about 3 weeks prior to that. So I was doing my day job and then coming back, coming home and doing my evening job, which was working on Shutter Buddy, getting ready for the convention, getting promotional materials ready, you know, some of the things that, hey, we've got this great product. Now, how do we go about selling it?
Yeah.
So,
a little important.
Yeah. So I got involved at that point and kind of worked on the things that Brendan didn't have time to work on. And from there on, I've been involved 100% with the business. So, since the middle of September, you know, once we got back from the trade show, it was my job to figure out, again, how do we take orders for this? How do we ship it out? You know, how do we get product in from China and get it through customs? So some of the things that as an entrepreneur you don't necessarily delve into because you're so focused on your product. You know, having a little bit of background, a business background. I also just completed my MBA. So, you know, I have a lot of these theories in my head. Yeah, a lot of theories in my head that I wanted to put to practice, and that's been my involvement so far.
And how was the decision made as to which trade show to go to, and what was the experience at the trade show?
Well, the decision as to which trade show to go to was a pretty clear decision for us. The ABC Kids Expo in Las Vegas is the biggest baby products trade show in the U.S. and we knew we wanted to launch the product at the biggest show and get the widest exposure that we possibly could. So that decision wasn't difficult for us, and it also was good because it, as I said before, it set a timeline for us to get this thing completed. And it's good to have those deadlines. And the weeks leading up to that were pretty crazy and
frantic,
getting everything pulled together, but we were able to get it pulled together, and we were able to get out to the trade show, and my wife and I and Greg were at the trade show working the floor. We had a tremendous response while we were out there. We had a lot of booth traffic. Almost everybody we talked to was very impressed with the concept, and we went out there. My wife Molly and I had been out to the trade show the year before when the product was still in concept form because we wanted to learn about what a trade show is all about. We, being professional people, not.
But that's good advice, right, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, you guys know I'm a huge proponent of trade shows, and this was definitely the right choice of a show. But yeah, walking shows, and I tell people that all the time. I'm like, if you have the luxury, like wherever you live, if you can just go walk a show, see what the vibe is like, you see what other people are doing, how they set up their booths, how their products are displayed, how they approach people, just all those little things make such a big difference.
We didn't want to get out there and and lay an egg with this thing.
Right.
And so we decided to go walk the show the year before and see what booths we liked and how people what we determined were successful booths and not successful booths from an aesthetic purpose, perspective. And so I think that was very beneficial to us in terms of then coming up with a concept of how we wanted our booth to function at the trade show. We loved our booth, and we got a lot of great feedback on the product as well as how it was positioned and displayed at the show.
And before you went to the trade show, did you anticipate what kind of questions the people walking by would ask and what your response would be?
Well, a lot of it is, what we're talking about today and how did this product come about. But then also, you know, the questions are, does it work? That's really the main question. Does it work?
Okay.
And, there's a lot of scientific literature that out there that says black and white patterns get infants
but you know
to
what?
Focus.
And you're going to see this, and you've probably already seen it. Even if this wasn't scientifically proven,
right?
You know what? If your baby looks at it, you get the picture.
Right, it
that's
works.
Scientific,
I mean,
enough
how,
for me.
How are you and defining worked? You know,
sure.
They put it on there, look at it, they get a picture. It worked.
The fact that you had that kind of research just only enhances it. But, I mean, if I'm... Look, if I want to get pictures, and those pictures are so important, I would try it. I mean, if there's especially since there's nothing out there, and instead of waving toys or something, you know, I would say, you know what, I'm going to give this thing a shot because at the very least, there's nothing that I've ever seen that would at least try to help me get those photos. And that emotional connection to getting the photo is enough for somebody to impulsively just say, I gotta try this.
Gotta try it.
Yeah. That's right. And at the show, we also had a screen with, we had used it on our friends' babies, all the way from a newborn, just days old, up to 9 months plus. So we had some great photos that we had taken with the product, and we had them circulating on a screen with the age at the bottom. So prospective, you know, buyers, media, everybody at the show, we would cycle through those photos and show them.
So they could see it with their eyes that it worked.
They could see that it worked.
I was going to say, I was one that, you know, because I was at the show, and I when I saw you, Brendan, I'm like, you look familiar, and I'm trying to rack my brain trying to remember, but there were so many booths, it was out of control there. But you know, I was wondering, I'm thinking, God, did these guys have a booth where they were actually taking pictures of babies, and is that a risky thing? Because let's say you get that one baby who doesn't actually look at it, and you're like, come on, you know, so.
Well, their way is better.
Right, having the video, because that's the best way to...
Well, there were babies that were walking around, and there were parents that were walking around the show with their babies, and we would stop everyone that walked by the booth and show it on them, and, you know, it worked, and the parents were like, wow, and they would just, you know, follow the
product. That's probably the easiest sale right there.
Well, you know? I mean, it's, you know...
If we could have had a live infant there... We would have.
There were people. I saw a number of booths where people had
kids.
You know, they brought their kids in. But I felt bad because the kids are just sitting there all day.
They're and like props.
You know, yeah, and I'm like, come on, you know, let them go players. You know, but I saw a lot of little kids circulating around there.
Well, we brought Audrey in 2008 when we were walking the show when the product was in development. But we're walking in a stroller.
Right.
Here we're working the booth on our feet for 4 days. It wasn't practical.
How'd your feet feel? I remember back 10, 12 years ago, 15 years ago, whenever I did my first show, I remember that first night after. Oh, my God, it's the worst pain. It's just, you know.
You're wiped out.
I wore, like, wingtip shoes or something. Like, I didn't have that. Like, you know, you should wear soft sole rubber shoes. And I remember I could not walk. And to walk into a trade show hall, it's like a mile just to get to your booth. You want to go to the bathroom, it's another quarter of a mile. And you learn lessons real fast about, you know, stuff from what to wear to, you know, how to eat. And
so day three, the three of us, Brendan, his wife, and myself, went and had spa pedicures.
Yeah, there you go.
Solve that problem.
I was hoping you wouldn't say that.
It's all right. Especially a foot massage.
One of those little thing trade show, you know, secrets. Behind the scenes that everybody does but nobody wants to talk about.
Well, I always take walking shoes with special insoles in there, you know, with the gel to kind of soften the walking.
Because we bought those, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a must. And I actually heard that, you know, a lot of times you walk into booths and some people have, like, very thick padded carpeting, but I've learned that having that thick, cushy carpeting to stand on is actually worse than if it's just kind of like how, you know, you have regular carpeting in a house where it's just a thin pad, because it doesn't keep your back, you know, supported, because you're kind of just sinking, your feet are sinking into that really soft, it feels good when you walk through it, you know, for 5 minutes. But, I mean, all these little things you learn at shows.
Well, you know, the black and white checkerboard pattern is integral to our product.
Right.
And so our booth design on the floor, we had taken those, you know, those square patterns that you see at the fitness club
The rubber.
Yeah, interlocking.
So we had black and white ones interlocking. Oh, nice. So our floor was a black and white checkerboard. But at the same time, it gave us a little bit of cushion because it was the
foam. Yeah, definitely.
Now, how was the trade show? Was it successful for you?
It was very successful. We garnered a ton of interest. And when my wife and I had gone the year before, we met some people and they told us, you know, Don't focus on sales. That's not really what your first show is about. It's about getting the product out there. So that was really our goal, to get the product out there. And we weren't concerned with making sales. But in fact, we did make quite a few sales out there. And then the last day on sample day, I mean, we sold out to other exhibitors.
Nice.
So it was a tremendous success.
So how could parents actually purchase one of these Shutter Buddies?
Well, you can go online to our website. It's www.shutter-buddy.com. There are also other e-retailers who are selling the product and other independent retailers in several states that are selling the product.
So you guys are you're on your way.
Are professional photographers buying it?
There's a lot of interest from professional photographers. We do have some limitations on using this product on SLR cameras. It will fit on some lenses, but It's not the ideal solution. And, you know, as we started, we recently started a PR campaign, and we got a lot of interest, a lot of emails coming to our website from professional photographers asking questions, does it work with DSLRs? And we recognized the need that we probably need to develop another version that will
work. Professional.
Exactly.
And that's what, you know, when you guys, and you'll see this when you go to these very large retailers, and in today's environment, I mean, it's tough selling big retails as it is, and you guys are, you know, obviously you'll see that, but they love to see multiple SKU lines. Like, you know, it's getting harder and harder to sell one thing, but yours can stand alone because it is a unique thing. It's not like you're selling, you know, a pair of shoes, and they're like, well, where's the rest of the line, the colors, the shapes? But as you guys develop products, it allows you to take up that much more shelf space and become a vendor that, hey, anything in this realm is yours, you know, it's your thing.
And we're currently working on the professional model, as Greg said. I mean, there's been tremendous interest from as a result of our PR campaign and bloggers. We originally thought that the mommy bloggers would pick this up and really be
evangelists for it.
That's right, and they have been. But what has been surprising has been the camera. And the camera accessory have real market. It really seems to be where a lot of the interest is.
Did you test different images other than the black and white checkerboard, like to alternate?
Any black and white
image would work, but did you test other ones than the what is it, rectangular square?
We tested a spiral on some of the earlier prototypes.
That would get me like almost staring into it. The spiral.
What we found with the spiral is it was a little bit harder to manufacture because you'd have to get the positioning of the fabric just right. With a checkerboard, they can cut it.
What about like a black baby image in a, you know, instead of a square?
I have not tested that. We haven't. But it would if it's black and white and high contrast, right, it'll work.
Yeah, so you mentioned bloggers. You've been leveraging social media to really get the viral marketing done.
We have been.
Are you on Facebook, Twitter? Where are you?
We are. We're Facebook/ShutterBuddy. Okay. www.facebook.com/ShutterBuddy. We're also on Twitter, twitter.com/ShutterBuddy.
With the hyphen or without?
We are without the hyphen on Facebook and Twitter.
Okay, we'll have to start following you and become a fan and everything.
Please
do. Are you doing your own PR?
No, we're working with Crescendo Communications, okay. They're handling our PR. And
PR is big, and I still think that you're right. I'm a little surprised. I think that the mommy groups eventually how could they not clamp onto this thing? I mean, they have.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't
like in a big way. You know,
right.
I think that's coming. I think as you guys continue to get it out there and expose it more, all you need is one good influential, you know, mompreneur blogger, and they run with it.
We're looking for that one person too. It's a very scattered category.
Yeah.
You know, we've sent tons of samples out to mommy bloggers. But, you know, we don't see, or at least I don't see, any one or even few particular ones that really have a big influence over purchasing. Yeah. So we see a little bit of traffic here and there from the different bloggers, and they might have a big following, but there's not one bit. There's no Walmart of bloggers
out there, right? It's that combination of just having, you know, like you said, using a PR firm and eventually.
But are you noticing when they do blog and post about you that it's helping your SEO for your website?
It is. I mean, it gets somebody posts on one blog or one website, and it gets picked up by others, and then Greg really monitors our website. But we see an uptick every time that happens.
That's good. All right. So, a takeaway: a few great tips. What do you have for people? Other inventors, other lawyers, doctors, homemakers, bus drivers. I don't care what you do. I mean, what you're doing is what everyone has to do.
But I have a little bit of a more of a backstory. My tip is to, if you have an idea, go for it. That's my tip. I had an idea when I was in college. I thought it was a great idea. I thought it would sell millions, and I never went for it. And that product is past its time. So when I came up with this idea, I was not going to not let it go. I was going to go for it, make or break. And that's my one piece of advice to all the people out there who have an idea that they think will work, you know, go for it. Talk to people. If it's not in your industry or not something you're familiar with, talk to people who and make connections who are and who can help you get it out there. And that's the most important thing.
Yeah, and I think the big tip behind that is it takes years to become an overnight success, because it's not like, you know, you come up with the idea and then poof, you know, you're a millionaire. It's a journey, not a sprint.
It is a journey. It is a journey, but it's a great journey. It's a fun journey. It's very exciting too to see something that you've created sort of take on a life of its own.
Yeah, when you see it in a store, you see your own products, you know, in stores that you would shop, that is
right.
That's the best feeling.
For them, seeing bloggers rave about it and how it helped them and saved Christmas, you know, those are really meaningful.
Excellent.
Yeah. So how does the future look for Shutter Buddy?
Future looks great. You know, we're in a market that is a huge market, and we're just scratching the surface here and the tip of the iceberg. So the future's great.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for coming by. Our listening audience, I think, has gotten some really good tips, you know, from your your journey.
Absolutely. Absolutely, guys. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It's our pleasure.
Okay. And this has been another great session of Launch, you know, with Jim DeBetta, our producer, Lee Cantor. And this is Ron Reardon signing off.